First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. One that we've probably will refer to quite a bit. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, clearly, and I'm sort of continuing the theme of last class in relationship to the priesthood of the believers, clearly our priesthood is built on the acceptable sacrifice, and that is by Jesus Christ. Okay? So I'm gonna read a little bit of this. I don't think I wrote a whole lot. Before we begin our study of priesthood, it may be good to define just what it is that we're talking about and what it is that we will not be talking about. In this modern day of religious denominationalism, when the term priesthood is brought up, many immediately relegate that to the Roman Catholic Church or one of its denominational offshoots. A Baptist minister would be called a pastor, while a Catholic minister would be called a priest. Simply terms, you know. This denominational approach has nothing to do with our study on priesthood and what it means to be a New Testament priest. Along this same line is the distinction some Christians make between being a minister and being a lay person. As understood by some, a minister has a special calling upon his life to the ministry. A lay person goes to church and gets fed and spiritually tended to unto by the minister. I'm talking about the basic view of this thing of the religious concept. The duties of a minister involved concerted time in prayer, studying the Bible, visitation of church members, etc. This distinction between lay people and priests can easily be refuted by one New Testament scripture. And this is, if you'll flip over verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people," or "a peculiar people," or "a people of His own." Interestingly enough, that phrase has in it, the word "people" there is the word "laity." It is that Greek word that's talking about lay people, the laity, people who are not priests. However, it's in the context of this, "but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood." And it is saying to the same people that is calling lay people that you're the priesthood of God. Both words are used in that one verse. So, in that sense, folks, we do all minister. You are a minister of the new covenant. My belief when it comes to things like baptizing people, I mean, you know, some organizations may not recognize this or that or whatever, but I think that you have a right to baptize somebody if you're in the Lord and you believe the truth and you're there for somebody and they, you know, they say, "Well, here's some water," and I believe, "Will you baptize me?" I believe that you could do that. I'm sorry, but I believe that. You know, and a lot of people would argue with me on that, but I really do. I think that those are part of the things of being a minister of the new covenant. Not necessarily part of things of being priesthood. Get it? Two different things. It's talking about two different things. So, in this scripture then, it's saying that the same people who are called to be the laity are called to be the royal priesthood. End of argument. All right. In an attempt to overthrow the wrong concepts concerning minister and laity, some have tried to deeply impress the congregation as to the priesthood of all believers as described in the New Testament scriptures. However, instead of really setting forth the true ministry, nature, and aspect of priesthood, they have only fought for the right of all believers to be able to pray for people, share with the congregation from the Word of God, or have all believers to see themselves as ministers of the Lord. Okay. I know I'm reading here, so you might be missing this. I believe that all people can pray, all Christians can pray for people. You know. You can and should be encouraged to do that. I believe that you can share from the Word of God in the gatherings. That's not necessarily preach, but it's certainly if God puts something on your heart, if you want to sit there and share it, or share it from your knees, or come up front, or whatever, I think that there's a place for that, you know, in the flow of the Lord. I think that we all are ministers in the sense we're not, you know, that doesn't mean the priesthood of the believers covers that. It means we're all ministers of the new covenant. You can minister to that anyway. You're all ministers of reconciliation. You don't have to have a little card that says ordained minister or licensed minister to be able to do that. You see what I mean? But don't confuse, you know, I say that a bunch in this thing, but don't confuse that with priesthood. That's the main point. While I personally reject a clergy system as valid, I believe that giving the right to all Christians to carry out the duties of a clergy system also falls short of what God had in mind for New Testament priesthood. Do you understand? They're refuting a clergy system, but then they're saying everybody has a right to function in the clergy system. That's amazing to me. I've been around this thing for years and years and years, and that's what they're standing up for, the right to be able to function in the clergy system. Now they're rebuking the clergy system, but it's okay as long as we all have a part in it. There's something wrong. Some may feel they have advanced far beyond the average Christian because their services are not held in a religious edifice. And there are people who believe that. They believe, there are people that believe you're carnal if you meet in a building. Or a building dedicated to that. Now if you meet in a home, you know, you're covered. However, in the book of Acts, they met in homes, and they also met in buildings, and they also met in the temple. In fact, the very beginning of the book of Acts, it was they met in the temple and homes from day to day. So that was a real common thing for both of them to take place. So let me read this one again. Some may feel they have advanced far beyond the average Christian because their services, their church services, are not held in a religious edifice, or because anyone has the right to preach or minister. Yet none of these issues have any real connection to what a New Testament priest is all about. Our goal in this study is not to set forth or bring back the patterns in the book of Acts, but to discover the meaning behind the shadows that God intended when He established the concept of priesthood among the Jews. We're not even trying to study the shadows and copy it. We're trying to see the true. We're not studying the old. We're trying to find from those shadows the true, and we're studying the new, the real. You see what I'm saying? So, so in that sense, we're not even trying. We're talking about New Testament priesthood. We're not trying to set forth the patterns of the book of Acts per se. You see, that's two different things. If you saw this in the book of Acts, it wouldn't be a pattern, it would be a lifestyle. I'm talking about the priesthood of the believer. The true meaning of that. Being a priest. Being a New Testament priest, you would see it in the way they treated one another, or the way they reacted under fire or whatever. Such as Stephen, when they're stoning him. He's being hit with rocks. He's looking, he's got his eyes on Jesus. He's looking up to heaven. He's seeing Jesus. He's being hit with rocks. And he says, "Father, forgive them." He's offering, he's a priest offering up the lamb to the Father. Now, they may be stoning him because he shouldn't be preaching. I mean, after all, and they didn't, this wasn't the reason. But if you remember, Stephen Stephen was, where did Stephen even come from, folks? Stephen was one of the guys chosen to be a deacon, which meant, and their job was to serve tables, to be waiters for the widows. And they had a special calling where God chose out Philip, you remember Philip? And Stephen, buds. They were buds. They hung together. They were in a Bible school together. Do you know that? They were. And God put His hand on them to call them to a special ministry. Go wait on the widows and make sure they got plenty of food. Wow. Now, how many people want that calling? You know, well, I want a special calling, but you know, I want to be a great evangelist so that I can drive a Lexus and have me a 3-story house. Interestingly enough, Stephen, when he finishes his ministry of waiting on the widows, when he finishes his ministry, he goes down to the synagogues and shares with the Hellenists about Christ. That's what he does. That's what he's doing on his spare time. That's not his ministry. His ministry is taking care of somebody over here. But he's pouring out Christ in every way, shape, or form. And so they don't like it. And they don't like what he had to say. And all he was doing is lifting up Jesus. So they all start stoning him and hitting him with rocks. And he didn't, it doesn't, the scripture doesn't say this. And as the rocks were hitting Stephen, the deacon anointed to his office of waiting on the widows, the anointing came upon him, and either one or two things, and a shield was formed, and it stopped all of the stones, because he was a man of God, and he had the call of God on his life, and God saved him. Nor did it say, the anointing came upon him, and he said, go ahead, hit me. I'm with God. You can't hurt me. I'm with the Lord, you know. Bring it, brothers. You know, he didn't get into any of that stuff. He was a priest. And he said, here I am in this situation, and I'm going to offer up the lamb to God. And he laid down his life. He didn't fight. He didn't kick. Well, there happened to be this guy who allowed the whole thing. It never would have happened without the authority of one guy there. His name was Saul, who later became Paul, who saw the whole thing. He didn't see Jesus die on the cross, but he saw Stephen die. And I'm telling you, he wrote about it over and over and over, even though he never mentioned his name. He wrote about the Spirit of the Lamb. He was affected by this guy who's glowing when you're being hit. You know, I'm sure the rocks hit him and there was a bruise and blood and everything else. He died from it. Come on. Let's get real here. I'm sure. But the Bible says his face glowed like an angel and he was looking at Jesus. Man, why can't we just get out of this world? But instead, we fight for the rights of God in the world. You know, we're going to kill all the Muslims so we're going to have peace. The only way to bring peace is kill all the unpeaceful people. Now, I'm not quoting Muslims. I'm quoting Bible school students. Oh, you thought I was quoting Muslims? No. Bible school students. The only way to have peace is kill off all the unpeaceful people. No. The only way to have peace is when the two are made one. And Jesus is the one. La, 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 la. But it is the truth. All right. So it's absolutely useless to set men free from being the laity only to release them into a cultural role of minister that has no semblance to or relation with what God had in mind when He established the shadow found in the Levitical priesthood. We're... not us personally, but people are working to free people from the clergy system so that everybody can be a minister. But we're not freeing them into the very spirit and reality that this whole thing represents. We're just trying to make them, we're just trying to make more room in the clergy system. That's really all it is. Seeing to it that nursery workers, are provided or bulletins are printed may be the duties of a modern day preacher, but it has nothing to do with the priesthood of the believer. Right? Somebody making a list that we've got nursery workers when we need them has nothing to do with the priesthood of the believer, unless that person is laying down their life by taking that responsibility, and probably laying down their life sometime by jumping in and doing it when they shouldn't even have to do it, but they're doing it because they're laying down their life. Can I get an amen? You know? Printing bulletins has nothing to do with the priesthood. I mean, can you see the high priest going, "Did you get them bulletins out?" I mean, come on. You know? I mean, we're, as priests, we're supposed to be so caught up in the Lord that, well, you know, how's something going to get printed or whatever? By someone who is a priest, not someone who is a minister. By someone who is a priest, not necessarily by someone who's a pastor. Are you getting this? This is huge. You know? But everybody's working on their credentials. With who? Man? Let's work on our relationship with God by Christ Jesus. Let's do that. That's where it really counts. The greater question is not who can minister, but what is the nature of ministry set forth in the concept of priesthood? Because everybody's fighting for who can minister, and then nobody's ministering as a priest. It just all seems so foolish to me. It's just incredibly foolish. While people are fighting to get people to move from a congregational mentality unto a minister mentality, and that's really, you know, it's a, being a congregational mentality being we're all cattle herded into a room, and the great cattle herder of the gathering, the preacher, stands up and gives forth the straw, you know, that the cows are going to eat for today. So, oh, but we go, oh, you know what? I discovered that that's not right. You know, we need to move them from just being herded cattle into all being ministers. Great idea. I agree with it. We do that here. We don't want people just sitting and being passive. But if we don't have the spirit, the nature, the real thing that God wants, what are we doing? I'll tell you exactly what we're doing. We're copying a clergy system, and we're thinking that it's holy in itself, and it's not. The only thing holy is Christ, and that's when we're offering up Christ. The Father's receiving His Son. That's the only thing making the difference. So, while people are fighting to get people to move from a congregational mentality unto a minister mentality, they have been unaware that the real battle is to get all to conform to the image of Christ in terms of priesthood. Nobody ought to be a minister if he can't lay down his life. For who? The ungodly. The person who doesn't deserve it. That's it. You know. But it's that very person that it's, we say, this is not fair. Well, it's not fair. I am here to tell you there's nothing fair about it. That Jesus should have to bear all of our stuff. That Joseph should have to bear the problems of the brothers. That Daniel should have to be thrown in a lion's den because of the wrongness of the counselors to the king. It's not fair. Oh, but it is glorifying every one of them, every time, all the time, always glory. What doesn't bring glory to God is the plotting guys that are seeing to it that they're crucified. You understand what I mean? That they're thrown in the lion's den, or that they're thrown into the deepest, darkest dungeon. You know, can you imagine Potiphar? Can you imagine his wife when Joseph comes out of the dungeon and becomes second in charge? You know, they lived their whole life avoiding seeing him in public and afraid that every knock on the door is going to be his guards to take them and kill them. And Joseph, I guarantee he never sent anybody. Nothing ever happened to them. Their own fear was enough, torment enough. You know, oh my God, now, you know, I mean, before, nobody knows that he never did anything wrong and that it's our fault and that we condemn and that we blame and that we push down and we're always the ones that are trying to step on other people to get certain places. Nobody knows, but when all of a sudden that guy has some power, well, when we get the power, we use it. We go make people pay. But when that guy being the priest that's going to give the Father what he really wants, that's why he got raised up. You know, Paul says that. Philippians 2, when he says, let this mind, in other words, think this way. He made himself of no reputation. Think this way. He became in a form of a man, and in the form of a man, and then was made in the form of a servant. You know, poor Jesus, he was God, then he's a man. Now he's not just a man, he's a servant man. Lower, and then he's a dead man who humbled himself. And then he became obedient. And then even the death of the cross, let this mind be in you, because then he highly exalted him. Who? This one who has this spirit. That's the spirit he exalts. And the good thing is, when he exalts it, there is no revenge. There is no seething unforgiveness, unsettled, you know. It's like, he's trying to bring Christ in. Not trying to bring you or me in. He's trying to bring his Son. He's trying to bring Christ to the throne. And when he finds a vessel that'll be his throne, where he can sit in them and make judgments, and his judgments are not after the flesh, or not for personal gain, or not for revenge, or not for anything else. His judgments are simply for God and others. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. All right, so let's make sure. We may stop someone from putting a sign on their door, their office door, that says minister, but have we brought them to daily offering the only acceptable sacrifice? For example, if we set out on this campaign, my God, this is wrong. These one-man shows, this, you know, there ain't nobody else allowed to minister and all this kind. We've got to stop this because it's wrong. First of all, I don't know that that's Jesus to stop it. I mean, I don't know that that's Jesus saying, you know, I want to stop this. You know, he might actually, I'll leave that to you. But he certainly wants you to proceed always in the Lord. Not just to change, because that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, this is right, this is wrong. This is real simple here. That's wrong. Let's go with the right. Same tree. We're just as blind as we can be, and we never see it, and we never get it. We never get it. We hear it, but we never get it. Same tree. God says, don't eat of it. We go, so we stand there for the 500,000th time and go, that's wrong, this is right, man. You know, I'm in the right, I'm over here with the good fruit. We do that every time. And then we think God's really pleased with us. And he's going, I said, don't eat of that. And we're going, I know he's happy with me.
I never touch that stuff, that bad fruit. I never do, man. Nothing but good fruit for me.
He's going, where's the life of my son?
Huh?
And then it comes. Oh, yeah. It's like a fog.
Yeah, somewhere in there I remember that this is about Jesus, not about right and wrong.
We start, you know, if we're lucky, we sort of wake up a little bit and start trying to work our way through the crowd, the fog, and then we start seeing the cross again. We start seeing the Lamb again, and we go, how did I get so stinking far off again? How do I keep doing this? What is wrong with me?
The goal isn't just to keep doing that. The goal is to get to the place where when you get in the circumstance, you go, I know what this is about. Here's wrong and here's right. And I ain't falling for this one again. I'm going with the Lord. I'm going with the Lord. That's the goal. Where it's nature, not just catching ourselves. That's going to take prayer and desire and love to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. See, that love just won't let you go. It just don't let you down. It just won't let you up. Of course, there are duties to be carried out on behalf of those who meet together. But do not confuse those things with priesthood, duties to carry out. Don't confuse those with priesthood or even with the priesthood of the believer. And removing all distinctions between believers, if it leaves out the true work of being God's priest, has only become more of an act of reestablishing human rights than it has of establishing Christ as our life. Standing up for human rights.
No, we all ought to be believers.
No, this ain't right. We all ought to be priests. We all ought to be able to minister. This ain't right.
If Christ isn't in that, I mean, it looks so good, and boy, people just flock to that kind of stuff. It is nothing more than standing up for human rights because Christ isn't in it. And what kind of ministers are we making?
I mean, what are we unleashing upon the public? More, you know, we say, well, that guy's he's a one-man show. He's all flesh then and all this kind of stuff. So what are we going to do? We're going to release other people into the same system and add more flesh? You know? No, I'll let other people preach, but it's pretty much going to be me. You know? And I will never have to lay down my life. I will stand up, not lay down. Isn't that an interesting thing? 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, for God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16, by this perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Interesting. Not stand up, lay down.
Stand up for what's right.
Jesus is shoved way back off over in the corner saying, lay down your life. The crowd roaring more because there's a thing, this mob mentality, this thing that rises, yeah, stand up for what's right. And it makes us feel good and it empowers us and it makes us feel like something is going on and we're making it happen. I know all about it. I was in the 60s. I was part of a bunch of that stuff. I know all about it, folks. And I'm telling you, when you finally build what it is that you want, I mean, the example was, you know, I stayed at home, when I wasn't in the orphanage, when I was with my parents, they both drank, they both were alcoholics, they fought, they beat each other, they bled, they beat us, we bled, junk going on constantly, horrible, horrible stuff happening in the home. So, you know, somewhere along the line, the 60s thing hits in, and you go, man, you know, and we start smoking, we say, man, you know, let's all be free, man, let's all just love one another, peace, man, you know. Let's just all, you know, give and share, and let's all, you know, communal living and all this kind of stuff. I tell you what, so you start slapping all them hippies together in communal living, you start finding there's some monsters inside all them sweet, peace-loving hippies.
You know, it's like, peace, baby, unless you do something wrong, and then this is a deadly weapon to your eyes. You know? You know, it's like, man, you know, if my parents, no, man, they drink, so they get mean, and they fight, and they hit and stuff, man. You know, if the way would just chill out, I mean, if everybody would just, the world would just chill out more, and I mean, if we all just smoked dope, you know, it'd just be a lot more peaceful. So we're smoking dope, and we're going, yeah, this is a lot more peaceful, man. Ain't very seldom does anybody jump up and start beating the heck out of somebody smoking dope, you know. You know, it's really more like, you know, you could take their billfold off of them. But anyway, so you're doing that. But then you know, you get up the next day, and then all of a sudden, you know, you want some drugs and stuff like that, and you go, oh man, dude, I don't, we ain't got no drugs. You got any cash? No, I ain't got no cash. You don't, no, man, we can't go do the day without smoking some drugs, man. What are we gonna do? You know, and so I go, hey, I know somebody down the block here, and they sell stuff to them, and I think we could find out where they're hiding their stash. And well, man, we got to do something, you know. And so we go down there and work this plan where they go out in the alley, and we get one guy gets up in the tree, one guy's acting like they're going to buy us some stuff, you know. So it's up in the tree to find out where they hide and come back in. Then we all climb down, and we all go and don't buy from the person. We just go steal all their stuff and go and smoke it and go, oh man, this feels a lot better. Until that was part of what led me to the Lord. I went, you know what? This ain't any better than, you know, I mean, we ain't beating each other to death, but we ain't any better. We're ugly people. You know? And society had changed, you know? I mean, it wasn't so rigid, you know? Everybody wasn't the 50s, you know, all, you know, Leave It to Beaver type family. It was a big lie, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, the clothes were different, the music was different, but we weren't. Just Adam in a different costume. Good word. Just Adam in a different costume. Anyway. You enjoying this tonight? Well, good. I'm glad somebody is. I expect, fully expected. No, I hate this. All right, let's see where we're at here. We're getting close to stopping. I'm going to read this last statement, and then we'll go on to the last paragraph. Removing all distinctions between believers, if it leaves out the true work of being God's priest, has only become more of an act of reestablishing human rights than it has been of establishing Christ as our life. And you see, somewhere God so drew the line in my mind. It's not something I have to work on. It's like a brand. He branded inside of me when he showed me the difference between Christ and everybody else. So clear, so powerful, that I will always know, and it's branded in my being. And I know the difference between even good works and reestablishing human rights, even if we call it Christian, where we're trying to make everybody a minister, when the motive behind it is not Christ, it's just the right thing to do, or human rights, or doing what's best for everybody, or what. But it's not Christ, and the motive isn't Christ first. I mean, you know, if you don't have that branded in there, then you just pulled around. You know, somebody sticks a hook in your nose, your mouth, and pulls you in. You just pulled every which way. You don't know. You know, you don't know. You'd be pulled in by, and if they slap the name of Jesus, if it says Jesus, then that's got to be right. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not right. And I can tell you these things, but that branding, I can't do it. You'll be fooled right out of walking out of here, right after hearing all of this, until it happens to you. It's called the revelation of Christ. And Christ must be so clearly divided in this thing that you see people. You don't see humans. You don't see flesh as much as you see motivation and heart. Heart, motivation. You see what really is going with people. Some people look awful good when they're not. And some people look bad when that's really Christ. Because a lot of times Jesus will take the blame and look bad. So, you know, so it's almost ridiculous for me to teach these things until you see it. But the hope is that instead of teaching you these things, the Spirit of God somehow is stirring with each one of you within you and is stirring up your desire for Jesus apart from me, this place, anything else, but is saying, I need to know. I mean, you know, if you don't, you're going to be deceived. It's just that simple. You got to know the Lord in this way, not just know Christianity and know the Jesus of the Gospels. Not just know the Jesus that's with me today. He's with me. No, the Jesus that is your life and the Jesus that wants to come. So that when you're seeing things, you're not seeing doing stuff for God. You're either bringing Jesus or you won't have anything to do with it. It's just that simple. Providing every member with a format whereby they may add to the service is a good thing, but that does not clearly show forth what the priesthood of God should be about. Does it? Providing everybody with a format so everybody can minister. That's not... Still, there's not even a semblance of understanding of the priest, of being a priest in that. There's just letting everybody a little more freedom. Here. And you've heard my saying, give a person an inch and they think they're a ruler. I guess the real saying is give them an inch and they'll take a mile, but you know. All right. We have given them the ability to become more than spectators in a gathering, but are they still passive in ministering as a New Testament priest? You know, now I can pray for the sick. Now I can share in the service if I want to. Now I can do... But are we still not offering up? You see what I mean? And there are bunches of charismatic churches all over the place that have released people to this. And, you know, there's still not an increase of the priesthood. Though we call it that. Oh, this is the priesthood of the believer. We let everybody, you know. It appears that the real motivation of some is to attack the clergy system and dismantle it, rather than bring in a priesthood that is based on an endless life. Jesus in every part. Jesus in every minister. Jesus in his body. Instead of... Because if the minister thing becomes a big deal, it's clergy system. Jesus wasn't trying to be a minister. He ministered the life of the Father. The works I do are not my own. The words I speak are not my own. Being anti-organization is one thing, but being pro-Christ is altogether another thing. We may be able to expose institutional religion for what it is, but the goal is to draw the real out of the shadows of the old covenant. And I think I wrote a statement here. Our goal is not to examine the Old Testament priesthood and apply it to us. We want to look at the real, from which the old was only a shadow. That, you know, Israel didn't get it. I mean, didn't fully recognize it by looking at the shadow. Let's look at the real, and then you can see many. I mean, you can comprehend why God had them do this, or why they wore this, or whatever. But you're not explaining the Old Testament priesthood. You're looking at the real and finding the explanation for why they did it that way, because Jesus is this way. Do you see the difference? I mean, one is, we're just going to do a study of the Old Testament. Well, if the Old Testament's not valid anymore, why would I want to do that? Does that even make sense? It doesn't to me. But if we want to know Jesus, then let's get in and let's see the truth. And let's see the real, not the shadows. And let's not dwell in shadow land and try to think we're spiritual because we know all about the shadows and we can spout stuff and about Jesus in it. But that's really the thing. The thing is the old, and then we see Jesus in it. I want to see Jesus. And I want that to show me how that was so much shadows and nothing of the real Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I'm after. And that's what I'm after in this class, too, by the way. Oh, by the way. I want to see the Lord, and I want us to get the real and not just be playing with the shadows. Well, good timing.
All right, let's pray.